Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Who's feeling good today? I'm feeling good today. If you got a Bible, go ahead and pull it out. Feeling good? I'm feeling good. Here, Isaac, grab this if you would, please. Let's put that in my bag. Hey, welcome to Revival Life. Preston, welcome to Revival Life. It's going to be an exciting ride. Anybody here wish that you were consecrated to Jesus at 5 months? I know I do. Amen? I know I wish that. Anybody think your life might be different if you followed Jesus from 5 months? What do you think? I'm like, I might have been raptured already. Who knows? As good as I am right now, if I'd have started that long ago, who knows what might have happened? If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 1. Oh, I didn't give it here. You got it already? Oh, that's so awesome. Today, I'm going to tell you the exact day that the Antichrist is going. No, I'm not. That's crazy talk. Oh, that's funny. But I will tell you the moment the Messiah is, he's here right now. Amen? I'm not looking for his return. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I look forward to his return, but he's here. I look forward to face-to-face. I look as not through a glass. But he's here now, and I'm pretty excited about that. But if you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 1. We're in our We Are Revival Life series. And in our series, thank you, Kevin. You're awesome. And in this series, we're talking about who we are as a people. And I'm going to talk about the fact that we are a people. I'm going to talk about the church and where the church is going at large and where we're going at large. And at the same time, I'm just going to believe that you're going to be activated in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. At the very end of the service, we're going to do one more song. And in that, we're going to activate some gifts, which is going to be exciting. Tonight, I'm going to lay hands on people and we're going to impart and stir up and call out and prophesy and all kinds of good stuff at our evening service. It's going to be good in the name of Jesus. Okay, you got a Bible? I love the Bible. Don't you feel bad for people who don't believe this is the Word of God? Like, you just stuck. Right? You stuck like Chuck. You're just trying to figure stuff out on your own. Feel bad for you. You ever try to drive somewhere without a map? Doesn't work out so well sometimes. I know you fellas are like, I know where I'm going. A map helps. Did I tell you that when I got saved, I didn't know how to get to the church? Did I ever tell you that story? Okay, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, so I was already saved, but I wasn't right with God. And I was, like, decided I was going to go to church that day. And I just remember, like, somebody told me the name of a road. And I was just driving. And I figured I would just get there. That doesn't work out so well. And I'm driving with somebody, and they weren't exactly excited about going to church because I found out later they were Jehovah's Witness, and they weren't as excited as I was. And we're driving, and they were really upset. We like started at 10:30, and I was like, wow, I just realized I don't have any idea where I'm going. I thought I'd drive to a side of town and just meander, figuring I would find it, which doesn't make any sense because I wasn't from the town, right? I'd only been living there for like a month. And so I'm driving, and I was like, wow, I feel like a complete moron. Let me just turn to go home, not realizing I was going in the wrong direction. I turned to go home in the wrong direction. I was like, okay, fine, we'll go. I'll turn. Oh, look, there's the church. Amen. That's a good word, right? And my life ain't really been the same since. So that was good. In spite of my stupidity. Revelation chapter 1, starting in verse 4. This book was written by John the Revelator, John the Beloved. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you in peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, verse 6, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that and we trust that you will bless the reading of your word today. And I just ask that your Holy Ghost would hover in our midst today. And that you would work in people's hearts as I speak words, that the words that come out of my mouth will be the words that you once spoken. But I especially ask that your spirit would minister in ways that I couldn't even acknowledge and couldn't even know. That we would talk, but you would do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. So we talked about the first week about how we are saved. We're people who get converted. That we're not born right with God just because we grow up in a church doesn't make us right with God. Just because we're in a certain denomination doesn't make us right with God. That we actually have to come to a place where we recognize we're not right with God. And if we're not sure, we can just look at the fruit of our lives. We're not right with God and that we need to be converted, receive Christ as our Savior and give our life to God and begin following him. Amen? That's a word that's not as popular today, being converted. I am a Christian, really, but you're shacking up. You mean you like Christianity? Not necessarily the same as... Anyway, so we talked about how you have to be converted the first week. Last week, I thought we had a pretty good service. We talked about serving one another, yeah? We talked about how blessed it is to humble yourself and how God anoints people who humble themselves. And today, we're going to talk we're going to take a little bit different tack. And I'm going to talk about kind of the purpose of who we are as a church body. Dan Slade was here, in March? February, March? Is that right? February? He gave us a word about us being an Antioch church, an Antioch center. And that word's been kind of stuck in my spirit. And I've been studying it, especially the last couple weeks. Last week, I wanted to preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he wouldn't let me. I planned to do it this week, and he said, how about you talk about being Antioch Center? And I was like, but I don't know exactly what that means. He's like, it'd be pretty good to find out, huh? If you want me to preach it, I guess it would be good to find out what that word means. And so as I've been studying this, God has highlighted to me part of what it means to be an Antioch Center. And we find the basis of it right here in Revelation chapter 1. And there's a couple things I want to point out in this scripture that many of us heard so many times, yet we miss. I see that if we look in the Word, if we look in the book of Acts, if we look at the church that was in Antioch, we see a couple of unique characteristics of it. And I don't have time to go through all of it. Time wouldn't permit me to detail everything that was different about the church in Antioch. But I do want to emphasize a couple things real quickly without referencing Scripture. You can study it yourself. I noticed that the church in Antioch was multicultural. Now, the church that was in Jerusalem was almost all Hebrews. The one that was in Antioch had not only Hebrews, as Barnabas was there, but Paul was also a leader who was really sent to the Gentiles. We also saw people from many faiths that were there. There were the Hellenists, and there were Cyrenes. There was many different people groups there. So it was multicultural, multi-ethnic. There were many languages, which is an Antioch church, and what I believe most spirit-filled churches are supposed to look like, the community. I find when you go to a church and there's one race and one culture, it's missing something. I'm amazed how people will leave a country, go to a different continent, and go to a church that looks just like the place they left. Well, you could have got that back there. Why are you here? I don't know. I have no desire to be in it. Well, you know what? My family can't go to a church and it be one race. Moment my family gets there, it becomes multicultural, which I like. My family will pick churches over the cultural mixture. I don't want to go to, I'm just kind of to be honest, it's just me. You don't have to agree with me. I don't want to go to a white church. I don't want to go to a black church. I don't want to go to a Brazilian church. I don't want to go to a Haitian church. I want to go to the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, there's lots of foods I don't want, you know, but that's different, you know. That's just me. I want to go to a church that looks like the kingdom. I hear a lot of people talking about the kingdom. I don't see a lot of people living in the kingdom. I got to believe that in heaven there'll be a whole lot of worship. I got to believe in heaven there'll be a whole lot of different ethnicities. And you know what? In heaven, there might be some people who don't think that America is the greatest country on the planet. Or whatever country you're from. But as I look at Revelation chapter 1, starting here in verse 4, I see something about the apostolic nature. I see John, who's a revelator. Now, here's something that's amazing. John is sending a letter, right, to seven churches, yes? He says, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you in peace from whom? From John? I send you my peace. Is that what John says here? No. He says, grace to you in peace from him who is and who was and who is to come and from the seven spirits. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about Jesus at first here. I'm sending you grace from Jesus. Really? You're his... You can talk like that? Yep. But not only Jesus, I also am sending you grace from the seven spirits who are before in his throne. Well, my God, here's somebody who's been around the throne. Got something and he's sending it to you. Come on now. And from Jesus. Whoa. So we got to say he who is and was and is to come, that must be the Father. And from the seven spirits of God, that must be the Holy Ghost. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, just in case you weren't sure who Jesus was. The firstborn from the dead and the ruler of kings on earth. Like, well, tell me about this Jesus. Well, you know. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Here's what I want to focus on. Next verse. And made us a kingdom. Leave that verse up. Here's John. John is a man, right? He was a man just like you and I. I'm burning right now. This is good. The Holy Ghost is here. John is a man like you and I. John walked with Jesus. They called him the beloved. He had his head on Jesus' breast when they had communion. He was basically cuddling with the man because, you know, they didn't have chairs back then. They would recline at table. If you read the scripture, they'd have a low table and be some, you know, little pillows on the ground. They kind of recline and they'd eat, you know, just chilling. It must have been filthy there because dropping food all over yourself. I think it's disgusting, but whatever. That's how they ate. And so here's this John who walked with him and would regularly in the scriptures be called the beloved, and he was so close to him. And then Jesus was murdered and went up to heaven and disappeared. And John is like, I'm the beloved. But then he finds himself isolated on a prison island. Imagine what you would feel like. I mean, like, there's people who don't get a promotion and they want to abandon Jesus. I thought we were going to get married and it didn't work out and I'm leaving Jesus. Here's a man who followed God, was as close to Jesus as a man can get. Found himself in a prison on an island. Like, they're going to send me to prison. What's prison? I don't know. They're going to take me to an island and they're going to leave me there. Well, that don't sound fun. Who's running the island? The prisoners. How you get fed? I do not know. I hear they get a ship and they just throw some food overboard now and then. Like, are you serious? Yes, that's what happens. And here he is. I'm at the island, and then we find out on the Lord's day, the Spirit of the Lord shows up and talks to him. And he gets that information, and he starts writing a letter to seven churches. I don't know about you, but when I am in a deep, dark place, and Jesus shows up, I'm talking about my problems. I'm like, I ain't got money for the bills. Oh, Jesus here. Let's talk about the bills. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When I'm in a dark place and Jesus shows up, the only reason he's showing up is to help me with my problems. That's how we think. That's the only thing you're interested in is what I'm interested in. But sometimes Jesus has another agenda. John was able to not focus on the fact, oh, you showed up. You must come with a boat. Remember, you walked on water. You're going to hold my hand. We're going to leave. That's going to be perfect. He's like, no, you're going to write a letter. Write a letter. You could have wrote a letter. You could get somebody who's not in prison writing a letter. I'll write a letter when you get me out of jail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But instead, he says, you're going to write a letter. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to show you some things. You're going to write this letter. All right. And so John, because of his relationship with Jesus, and he had so consecrated his soul and so sanctified himself from the cares of the world and really had given his life to Christ, he's able to stand boldly and say, I am talking to you, but not under my authority. I'm not coming to you as a man. I'm coming to you as an apostle of God. I'm coming to you as someone who has stood before the throne of God. I communed with the living God, and they don't gave me something to give you. And now I'm coming with a message, and you can ignore me, but if you ignore these words, which I'm speaking to you right now, it will be to your peril. That's authority. That's authority, amen? That's authority. You know, this whole thing was written by men and women. The whole thing was written by men and women. It was written by men and women who consecrated themselves to God, people like me and you. They got problems like me and you. I've met world changers. I've met men who preach on every continent. I've met men who've led countless scores of thousands of people to the Lord. I've met men who have led revivals. I've met men who are in history books and will be talked about 200 years from now, and they're dealing with the same things you're dealing with. They got the same weaknesses you got. But they chose to consecrate themselves. When I meet these men and I get in the relationship, I always send them an email and I say, listen, you're on my prayer list. I need to know specifically how can I be praying for you. And if I told you their prayer list, you'd be like, that sounds like my prayer list. You're like, you want me to pray for you for finances? Really? I thought you'd be set. I thought you'd be on that TV show. I got to say, I ain't saying nothing about the TV show. I'm just saying one of us is doing something wrong. That's all I'm trying to say right there. One of us, if you're a millionaire preaching, one of us is doing something wrong. I don't know which one, but. But these men have the same prayer list that you and I have because they're just men. But some people are able to say, I'm not living for the here and now. I'm living for the glory. I'm living for what I'm called to do. I'm living for what I'm going to leave behind. I told you last week, we buried my grandmother, and as I'm taking her into the coffin, I'm putting her in this little case that's going to hold her ashes, and I'm carrying her remains, and I'm like, this is it. This 85 years of life is in my hand right here. That's all that's left. That's all that's left. It's all that's left, and we could spend our whole lives trying to amass a little bit. I'm going to hold on to it. I can't let this person say that about me, and I can't let that happen outside of my control, and I got to make sure I make a couple extra dollars on the end. And at the end, you hold everything you got in one hand. It's going to go in a little box. You're going to put a little piece of copper over with your name on it, and that's it. And for the first couple years, people might come and visit, but after 5 years, statistics are most don't get one visit a year. And after 25 years, you're just going to be taking up space. That's it. That's your whole life. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. So it's what do you leave behind? I look at John, the Revelator, and I say, here's a man who consecrated himself to Jesus and left something behind. He says, I'm in prison, but I'm leaving something behind. I'm bringing up another generation behind me. I'm not living for me right now. I want to get out of jail, but right now Jesus has something else for me to do. Who knows what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank Jesus right now. Hallelujah. I feel like a spirit of revelation is coming into the room. But he says right here in verse 6, he says, listen, he says, God has made us a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. You hear what I'm telling you? A kingdom of priests. Now, we can think this is a New Testament idea, but all along, God has wanted people to be priests to God. We were originally created to worship God. We look back in Exodus chapter 19, he says, now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. God has always looked for a people who will be consecrated to him. A full people. And I'm here to let you know, in this new covenant, it's not like there's the pastors and then there's you. We are a kingdom of priests. You hear what I'm telling you? We're a kingdom of priests. And in this new covenant, God is looking for people who will set aside the cares of this life and the cares of this world and will find out what it means to be a priest separated to God. I'm feeling excited right now. I feel like God's going to do something today. I'm pretty excited about it. We've prayed as a leadership team that God would do whatever he wants. I'm far less interested in entertaining people than I once was. And I'm far less interested in entertaining my detractors and arguing with people who don't recognize or appreciate the call in this house. You hear what I'm talking about? I love Jesus. I'm a little congested. I'm going to take a cough drop. So you understand what I'm doing? I'm not like eating candy up here. Okay. You got to start asking yourself, why are we here? Why are we here and what's the purpose? Why is this church planted in Boca Raton? And what's my part in it? We see that God makes a kingdom of priests. So what is this kingdom of priests supposed to do and how do they get equipped to minister? We find out that among this kingdom of priests, Jesus gives gifts. And these gifts are the fivefold ministry. We find it in Ephesians chapter 4. And we talk about this a lot because it's important to understand. It says in verse 11, he says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the main job of the fivefold ministers? What was that? We know this, right? What is it? Equip the saints. Who are the saints? We are, right? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Is it for tearing down the body of Christ and letting them know what they've done wrong? Or how disappointed God is in you? Or how special the fivefold ministers are? No. Until when? Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Do you think we've all done that? The unity of the faith? No, probably not. To mature manhood, sorry, ladies. No, I'm joking. That's gender neutral there. And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I want you to see language that's used here that we're going to see again later. Paul says, Jesus gave these gifts to the church so that we can no longer be children, but instead have unity and be equipped to minister. When we come into Christ, we're children in Christ. And we'll always be children. But at the same point, we're supposed to mature in being fathers. John talks about children, adolescents, and fathers in 1 John. And the difference between children and adolescents are those who've overcome the enemy. Children are those who are still bound in their own sin. If you don't have victory over sin, you're still a child in Christ. He says once you have victory over sin, you've become an adolescent. Fathers are them who know him who is from the beginning. So some people say, nobody can really know God. I'm here to let you know. John, in his epistle, said, you can. And not only that, in this epistle, he says, I seen them, and I am coming to you with a message that I got from them. Has anybody else seen the seven spirits of God? I have not. Can you imagine what would happen if I showed, hey, I have something for you from the seven spirits that are before the throne. You'd be like, what? Is that an ice cream shop? What is that? What do we? But he says here in Ephesians, look, we have these fivefold ministers who equip people who are children. Quit being children and be adults, he's saying. Are you with me? Are we on the same page here so far? Are you okay? Are we awake? Excellent. And so Paul is saying, listen, there's people in the body of Christ that you need because they're going to equip you to do what you're called to do. You with me? There's people in the body that you need because they're going to equip you to do what you're called to do. And you can't do it without them. Now, this goes contrary to the American church. This goes contrary to the democratic denominational church. And this is what I want to talk about for a second. In denominations, here's what happens. The denomination control, they create an organization, and the organization says, this is what we believe. And we'll make people believe what we tell them we believe, and then you go and you fill a denominational church, and everybody has allegiance to the denomination, and once you get tired of one pastor, vote out one, you can have another one come in, because really it's the denomination that's your daddy. The denomination's your daddy, and we'll just send a pastor. It doesn't matter who the man is, because we follow organizations. What we're seeing in these ages are people gathering around apostles. We see people gathering around apostolic and prophetic teams. We're seeing people gather around fivefold ministry teams that say, this is where we're going as a house. Jesus said that the pastors, in his Psalms, he said that they would lead you where the green grass is in the still water. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, do you know if you bring a herd of sheep to green grass, it's not going to stay green for long? They're going to trample on the grass. They're going to eat the grass, and they're going to, after done processing the grass, they're going to leave something on the grass. Amen? And at some point, a shepherd needs to come along and say, hey, where we went before is not where the green grass is any longer. We got to get the flock out of here. Yes? We got to move the flock to more green grass. Yes? That's what shepherds do. They say, it's not green here anymore. Yes? That's simple to me. That just makes sense. Denominations say, we've found the place that we're going to rest. And so you can look at a denomination's doctrine, you can see where they rested. Look at their denomination. Well, you believe in sanctification. You get the second work of grace is sanctification. Oh, Shundarai. Yeah, 1890s is where you stopped. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the speaking of tongues. Okay, 1907 is where you stopped. I get that. I don't know. We press in for healing and we sanctify. Oh, 1950s is where you stopped. That's awesome. You just look at them. Where'd you stop? Oh, we believe that Luther came and you way back in the 1500s. That's awesome. Okay, that's where you stopped. That's great. That's great. The Pope is my father. Ooh, you're way back there at 400. Okay, well, that's nice, but, you know, more things have happened in the last 1,600 years. You might just want to press in a little bit, you know. You hear what I'm telling you? And so when you follow a denomination, denominations are hard to move. Men hear God and respond. Like, you don't want to be a man chaser, man follower. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't really see that in Scripture. Paul said to the Corinthian church, now, the Corinthian church had all the gifts, right? And it was a mess. It was an absolute mess there because they everybody was doing whatever they wanted to do. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look, oh, you got all these teachers that are teaching about all these gifts, but you don't have many fathers. 1 Corinthians 4:15, he said, oh, you got a bunch of them. You don't have many fathers. And then he lets them know, hey, guess what? You don't have to wander anymore. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's kind of bold for Paul, don't you think? That's kind of controlling there. I don't know if that's, well, I don't know. It's right there. Go back. Let's read it together. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now, I don't dare compare myself to Paul. I've heard people say, well, Paul didn't have a spiritual father, and so I don't need one. Like, you're Paul? You're like Paul. First of all, that's not biblical. It's completely unbiblical. He went to Jerusalem, and the people in Jerusalem were over him. They said, you're going to take a vow, shave your head. He said, yes, sir, I'll shave my head and take a vow, even though I didn't do anything wrong. Nowhere in Scripture is Paul not undercovering, first of all. So that's just bad. Don't follow people who've never been to no Bible classes. You ever have two homies who sit in a closet and make music, and they come out like it's a hit, and you're like, that's what? Yeah, that's a top track, you know, from your studio, but your studio's not very good. It's like that. It's like a lot of little kids and together, like, we don't know how to judge this, but we'll just say it's great. Oh, look, I got doctrine. No, it's heresy. You need to stop. Stop telling people Jesus said that, because he didn't. You know, there's warnings about that. There's warnings about being a false prophet or a false teacher. And when you put words in God's mouth that he didn't speak, Be very cautious. How do you test that, Mikey? Well, you go to a spiritual father and you ask. Oh, wait a minute, you don't believe in that. Okay, then you just got to find out on the other side. That's not when you want to find out if you've been teaching false doctrine. There's no do-over. But Paul says, listen, I can just hear him. He's like, man, it's so awesome what you guys are doing. It's so great. But come here, son. Stop it. Stop it. Where are you? I'm your daddy. Okay? Stop it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Stop it. You're embarrassing yourself. You're not helping. We believe in spiritual fathers. We don't believe that anybody should control you. You have a free will. No one can take that from you. And if you don't listen to me, it's sin for me to curse you. I've been in these churches where, oh, you don't listen to me. You're cursed with a curse. Like, come on, man. There's no curse in Christ. Oh, your stupidity curses you. Your bad choices curse you. I'm not going to curse anybody. You with me on this? You with me? In this church, there's people who consider it their job to make sure you accomplish everything God has called you to do. I'm going to say that again. In this church, there are people who consider it their call from God and the reason they're on this planet to make sure you accomplish everything you can accomplish in everything you were designed for, everything you were called for, everything you've been equipped for, every dream that God has for you. There's people in this church who believe it's their job to make sure you're able to fulfill it. That's the difference in having a spiritual father and being a denomination. The denomination says, we figured out a pathway to be what we want a minister to be. And you're like, well, God hasn't called me to that. Yes, he has. I don't think he has. That's not anything he's told me. But that's all we believe they do right there. Okay, but that's not in the scriptures. But God came in 1870, and this is what he told us, and that's what we're doing. Can I have some green grass, please? No. This is where our apostle in the 1800s stopped, and this is where we're staying. But that was a long time ago. You can be on your own. You can absolutely do this thing on your own if you want to. You can absolutely do it on your own. Absolutely, you can be on your own. I look at the people who desire to do that, and they don't accomplish as much. Say you want to be a computer programmer. Would you rather have your daddy be me or Bill Gates? Probably Bill Gates, yeah? That's probably going to work out better for you. Go do it on your own. There's people in this room, like your call, they feel like it's their responsibility to make sure you're ready for it. You understand how valuable that is? Do it on your own. I know if I was undercovering, I'd make sure the people that I'm submitted to understand where I feel like God has called me. And I'd be doing everything to line up with it. I mean, I would be up in that. I'd be like, Miss Tracy, Pastora, I believe the Lord has called me to be married, and my ring size is 8. Just in case someone asks. Just in case. But let me tell you this. If you're not in relationship, if you're not undercovering, don't tell us because they ain't going to ask. You on your own. I married this man. He's broke. I knew he was broke. You should have asked. He don't tithe. He's going to be cursed. He ain't faithful to God. How you think he's going to be faithful to you? Pastor, just so you know, I got my eye on this girl. Okay, that's awesome. I just want you to know that she's talking to somebody. And I don't mean just talking. The seven spirits of God told me. I'm here to tell you. I would tell her. I'd send her an email just in case somebody asks. Well, that sounds like control to me. Well, that's funny. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, he says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. He didn't say, I want you to just get a vision of Jesus and follow that. No, Paul said, listen, I am following him. And you don't see all that right now, what he's saying, because y'all are children. But if you look at me, do what I'm doing, because I'm following him. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you what to do. But he did say, you look at me, because I'm following him, and I will be your guide in Christ. But you can just be on your own if you want. How you go from sinner, backslidden child to apostle, follow me as I follow Christ. I don't know how you do that without following somebody. I don't know how you do that. Well, I don't feel, I'm like Paul. If you was like Paul, you wouldn't say that. Because Paul only got more humble as he got older. Follow me as I follow Christ. And if that is in the scriptures, that means there better be some people that people can follow, who are willing to say, you know what? I heard from God for you, Corey. I heard the Lord speaking to me. And I could say something really good, right? He was right. He's drawing a word. I felt it in my spirit. He's like, prophesy, prophesy. I felt it. You were pulling, weren't you? I felt it. Like, what? I'm busy right now, bro. I'm working here. I felt that. Good God. Love these people. I do have a word for you, though, Lillian. This is pretty good. When you were leading worship, I felt like, no, I didn't feel like it. I'm telling you what I saw. There were these big kind of, don't judge me if you don't know me, all right? Just don't judge me. Just reserve it. Just say this between him and God. I don't know about that, but I ain't going to judge it, all right? Just, I saw like some hippie-looking angels over here. When you were singing, they were swaying, though. They were about, you saw them? You felt them? They were like right over where Clark is. But I don't think it was Clark. Because they're about 10 feet. And when you would worship, they were just swaying. And so like when you press in, when you tap into it, you know what I'm talking about? There's times when you're just singing, I'm leading, I'm serving, I'm doing my thing. But when you tap into it and you start flowing with the Holy Ghost, yeah, see, faith starts to flow. Angels take notice and the room begins to shift. You see that? You see that? That's good stuff. Yeah, Mike, you really need to be in the Word. You need to be in the Word. You got to figure out this breaker anointing and how it's how it gets ministered in the Book of Acts. Was it Ron I gave that word to about Acts? You need to be in the Book. You need to see that breaker anointing in the Book of Acts. The Lord will show it to you, because there's a time when you can tap into worship and you can sing the right songs, and then you co-labor with Christ. And the room breaks open. You know what that's like, right? You've been kind of touched. You got to purposefully do that. You can't just worship and then hope it happens. I'm just going to do whatever, and hopefully God does what. No, no. Like, now I'm doing something. I'm now taking authority over the room. That's a good word right there. Yeah. I see you swinging a sledgehammer. I feel it. I'm just going to flow here for a second. What time we got? All right. I see you swinging a sledgehammer. The problem is you're swinging it kind of wild. You're breaking stuff. I'm seeing sparks happening. You're hitting the right thing a lot of times, but there's just like sparks everywhere. And people are like, he's breaking things. It's kind of like, It's kind of like Paul early after his conversion, before they sent him away. They're like, they sent him away, then there was peace, because he was just breaking things. But there was much power there. There was much zeal and power. And I just feel like, I see it. There's a coupling happening in your wife and you, and the anointing of God will flow together to where you both, like, you won't just swing wildly, because she'll be giving you hey, anybody know, like, when you send artillery downrange in the Army, there's a guy who tells them where to shoot it. There's someone very close to where it is. They call it, like, a downrange something or another. And they go way deep in there, and they say, okay, send the bomb here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm not making this up. That's like you. So you're the downrange person. And you're telling them, okay, swing the sledgehammer here. Stop breaking things. Like, right here is where it goes. And you'll see ahead of time where the sledgehammer is supposed to swing. And he'll swing and hit it. Does that make sense? That's a good word right there. God is very good. I tell you, I was in the middle of the night last night, and I was praying, and the Lord said, tell the people. Let me tell you what he told me to tell you. Hold on. This is what he told me to tell you. This, now I understand why. He told me to tell you, press in, come early, get a good seat. Now I understand. So Natalia, front row. Yeah. Yeah, see, there's a sharpness coming. See, the enemy has come to put a sheath on your sword. You've been swinging a sheath sword. It hasn't done anything. That's why you've been frustrated. But I believe he's unsheathing the sword now. Shoulder, if you would. Fire the Holy Ghost right there. Take that. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. That's it. Take 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 it. Set your hand towards her if you would. Pastora, right now I just feel like there's an authority that's coming upon. There's an authority. Fire the Holy Ghost. Just you know, this is all good. There's an authority that's coming upon you. Ooh, the Lord's showing you the staff right now. The staff right now. The staff. Fire the Holy Ghost right there. There you go, right there. You see it? Oh, you see it, okay. Isaac, I love you. You're going to get a good haircut this afternoon. All right, don't judge me on this, all right? I need you to get up. I need you to run around the room one time and come back here and sit down. Run around the room one time and sit down. Which way do you think? Nope, the other way. Quickly. Kevin, I see you coming out of a door. You're coming out of the door and inside the room. One more time, Isaac. In the room is dark. Out of the room is very bright. You're coming out into the sunshine. I see it right now. One more time, Isaac. Quicker, quickly, quickly. Quickly. Come on, run, 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 run. Isaac, you got some personality things that kind of draw attention to you. And the Lord, some people, like maybe your parents, I don't know, they would want you to stop those things because sometimes maybe it frustrates them. But the Lord says, I've created you to draw attention to yourself because I'm going to put my word in you. And you're going to run the race with vigor, the Lord says. And the Lord says, I'm using your peculiarities because they're not peculiar to me because I created you with a purpose. Fire the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to talk more about this on a later date, but you want to be you can you know there's churches everywhere. You want to be part of a denomination? There's some really good ones. Ask me. I'll tell you some great churches in this city. They'd be more than happy to have a denomination take care of you. Great churches in this city, in this state. They'll just say, you just be under the denomination. The denomination will be fine. There's probably another church in this school that you could go to. And that's all right. Get where God has you. But at some point, you know, you're like, I need to do more than I'm able to do in my own natural. Wow. I think you see in Batman episodes. I'm not sure what's. Can I have the worship team to come on stage? Pastor, what's the point of this whole message? Here's the point of this whole message. You need to have people in your life who will activate gifts in you. Or you can just be on your own. I want to leave something behind bigger than me. Whoa. You ready to come out of it? You ready? I'm going to grab your hand. I'm going to pull you up. You're going to come out of it. Ready? Ready? I'm going to pull you, though. 3, 2. Fire the Holy Ghost right there. There it is right there. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song. Mike, I need you to have a mic. just in case. We're going to sing, whoa, 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 right? And when we do the whoa, 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 God is going to do something very exciting. Listen, before they start playing, listen, before... Fire the Holy Ghost right there. Fire the Holy Ghost right now. Fire the Holy Ghost right now. Fire the Holy Ghost right now. Here we go, right
there. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't play it. Don't play it. Right there. Okay, listen. Here was my point right now. My point is, you want to... If you like denominationalism, that's fine. Find a denominational church. That's not where we're going. I'm praying in prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. I'm praying in multiple apostles. I'm believing that as an apostolic prophetic church, it's part of our call to get those fivefold gifts and send them into regions that don't have them, to establish apostolic churches. Are you getting anything out of this? Does this mean anything? Yeah. Stand your feet if you would. I hope that made sense. So as an apostolic church right now, I really feel like the gospel is caught, not taught. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a gift today. I'm going to lay hands tonight, but I'm going to give a gift. And we're going to worship. And as we worship, my wife's going to come on up here. The gifts are going to begin to activate. And when I tell you now, I want you to begin receiving.